This is Barbara E., a volume compulsive overeater and a compulsive person. I've never restricted anything in my life. I have to tell you, I really need to go for colonoscopy, but I don't want to go because I have to do a two-day cleanse, and that means I can't eat for 2 days. And that makes me crazy because I really love to eat. It doesn't matter what. There are no red light and green light and yellow lights for me. All food is black. I'll overeat on anything except celery. I won't overeat on that. But anything else is fair game. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story and what happened to me. Of course, many of you know I've lost over 100 pounds. 9 times, figure that math out, 9 times over 100 pounds before the God I did not believe in, didn't know I needed, led me to Overeaters Anonymous. I was born with brown eyes, brown hair, and a compulsion to eat. I told this story, and it's humorous, but you're probably sick of this humor. When I was 3 years old, I wandered into my mother's bathroom. I opened a cabinet and I found what I thought was a big chocolate bar. It was X-Lax. Now, if you're old enough to remember X-Lax, it's a laxative. I had a shitty day the next day. I was only 3 and it was pouring out of me. And then if you're still as old as I am, and I'm no longer a long timer. I consider myself an old timer. If you remember AIDS, AYDS, it was a caramel coated, individually wrapped piece of, let's face it, it was candy, but it was supposed to curb your appetite, but not if you ate the whole box at one time. It didn't give me diarrhea, but it tasted very good. I'm a compulsive overeater. I will always be one. When I was little, my mother took me to the Chubbuck shop. I don't know if you've ever had to do that. It's humiliating to be taken to the Chubbuck shop. My mother was slender. She could eat 1 teaspoon of a frozen product and say, oh, that's enough. My husband is a normie too. He'll eat something and say it's too rich. What does too rich mean? That's not even in my vocabulary. That's a different language. And as I've said before, I ate food off the floor. I hid it all over my room. I wrapped it in tin foil and put it in a Ziploc bag and threw it in the garbage. I'm not that hygienic, but I knew I'd go back and eat it again and it would be clean and I'd eat it. And I've also gotten those big cardboard box from an Italian store, ate the whole 8 pieces of them, and then thrown the cardboard container that would tell my story in my next door garbage pail. I was sick. I had a disease. And that's what I learned when I came into Overeaters Anonymous. I had a disease. A disease, if you put dis in front of many words, it means uncomfortable, unworthy, unanything. And I was out of ease. I had no ease in my life. I was selfish. I was inconsiderate. I was jealous. I wanted things my way. My husband is left-handed. If I could have, I would have jumped over the table and cut his food from him because he was cutting it wrong. He was left-handed. Who am I to say what is right-handed and left-handed? Ridiculous. And then I lived in Manhattan. I may have told you that on the 7th floor. There were lots of opportunities for me to babysit. And they said the worst things you could ever say to a babysitter. We're leaving you in our little one's charge. Eat anything you want from the kitchen. Don't say that to me, because I did. and they never hired me again. And then one time I did an awful thing. I went to another person's house because they didn't know about my problem with food. And I found a very hygienically wrapped one slice of anniversary cake. At least I now know it was anniversary cake. I didn't at the time. I thought it was one piece of cake. So I ate it. It was their anniversary cake that they were saving for their 1 year anniversary, which was coming up in a month. When I went to them later to make my amends, they threw me out. They said, "We don't want anything to do with you. You can't repair the damage. Our anniversary's come and gone." I had to accept that because I did my part. So I had to do all the things that my sponsor told me to do. And what she told me at the time, way back in 1997, was use all seven tools. Now I know there are nine today, but at that time there were only seven. And if she said jump, I would have said how high, because I couldn't go to a paying way. I'd done so many of them. I'd even been a lecturer with food stuffed in my pockets to eat on the way home from the lecture. So what happened? I got pulled over by a policeman on my way home from a Weight Watcher lecture, where I was the lecturer giving other people my wisdom, strength, and hope. And he said, "Are you driving under the influence of alcohol?" And I said, "No, I'm going to pick up that thing that fell on the passenger side of the floor." And because he was kind and maybe he knew someone just like me, he said, "Mrs. E, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. When you're driving, don't pick food up off the floor. In fact, don't eat food off the floor when you're driving. If you must have it, pull over to the side of the road. But I seriously suggest you give up that. Wait till you get home." He was kind. I didn't deserve kindness. I could have gotten a ticket, but I didn't. So that's my story, except to tell you, I was a ninja binger too. I snuck down at 10:30 at night and I prayed to my refrigerator, "Oh, refrigerator, tell me what to eat." And my refrigerator would always reply in a snarky voice, "Eat anything you want, Barbara. And don't forget, next door in the freezer, you've got two guys that love you. Their names are Ben and Sherry's. Yeah, they're waiting for you." And I went there and I ate.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. My sponsor said, "Put a small hardcover copy of the AA Big Book in the freezer. And when you have that temptation, if you must, open the freezer and there will be that hardcover copy of the AA Big Book. And it'll give you the stink eye and you'll run up as fast as your chubby little legs can carry you." But now, what have I learned along my journey? I've learned the principles in AA. Those Big Book members said I needed more than the tools. I needed the tools, but yes, I needed the steps. So honesty. I admitted I was powerless over food in my life, and hope. There was hope for me. There was a solution. I just had to look for it. And faith. I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to this care of this higher power that wasn't my refrigerator and wasn't the scale and wasn't the bathroom and wasn't the fast food drive-in. I had courage. I made a searching and fearless moral inventory of my spiritual blockers. I don't like defects. And then I had integrity. I had to go to people and admit to the person, and in this case, it was my sponsor, what I had done completely. And then the willingness to have thy higher power remove it. And I believe, and this is just for me, that steps 6 and 7 in the OA 12 and 12 explains the difference perfectly between what step 6 and what step 7 is. And I hope you'll give me the opportunity to explain what that means to me. Step 6, my sponsor said, is pretend you're a little girl and you think you've outgrown the toys. Put them on the bed and look in the closet and see if there are clothes you never wear or are too babyish for you, and put them on your bed. And then look at them. And if you don't want to give them away yet, put them back on the floor and put them back in the closet. And the rest will give you the Salvation Army. And those will be your character defects. You'll give them away. And in step 7, you'll humbly ask for a higher power to remove them. And maybe those clothes that were put back in the closet and those toys that were put back in the floor, you will be ready to give them up one day. But remember, Barbara, you're imperfect. You're going to screw up sometimes. And I always say this, a lesson is not a loss. A slip is not a dead end. It's just a detour. I'm imperfectly perfect. I go to bed, if I'm lucky, recovered today, but I wake up an addict all over again. So I need in step 8 to have this brotherly love. And I learned not to say to my son, I have this 12-step program and I have to make amends to you for the things that I've done that I've hurt you. Because he responded, oh, you're doing it because you have to. So now when I go to someone, I say, there's been something weighing on my heart. I did something that I was wrong to do, and I'd like to see what I can do to repair it. Here's what I plan to do. And is there anything you'd like to add? And then I sit there and listen quietly and say, thank you for sharing that. And I need this discipline to do that. That's the principle and the perseverance in step 10, to continue to take personal inventory every day and do 10 steps as I need to every single day. And I do need them. And then step 11, prayer and meditation. I'll tell you right now, I'm not very good at meditating, but I am good at praying. And I say my own personal prayer. Maybe not the prayer you say, but I say my own personal prayer. And of course, the serenity prayer every day. And service. Service is so important to me. Because every time I talk to you, even if it's just 2 people, that's a meeting. We're having a meeting of our fellowship because you're family. And I didn't get to read anything today. I didn't read a script. I talk to you from my heart because that's how you talk to me. And I hear your voices and I appreciate you. And I do sponsor other people because that's what keeps my memory green. Because if I forget what I was like 2 decades ago, I'm sure to do it again tomorrow. I can't do it without you. And I haven't heard my spiritual timer. But if there's time, I'd just like to read one thing that is AA approved. You're giving me the thumbs up. Oh, thank you. I didn't write this, so I am going to read it. It's written by Sam Shoemaker, and it's approved by AA. They read it. And it's called I Stand at the Door. And you can Google it and read it, too. I'm just going to read you the one stanza because it responds to that idea of service. I stand by the door. Now remember, this is Sam. I stand by the door. I neither go too far in or too far out. The door is the most important door in the world. There is no use my going way inside and staying there while so many still outside, and they, as much as I, crave to know where the door is. And all that so many ever find is the wall where the door ought to be. They creep along the wall like blind men, with outstretched hands, groping hands, feeling for a door, knowing there must be a door, and yet they never find it. So I stand by the door. And it goes on in many stanzas to explain that is service, standing by the door. I can't make anyone recover. I wish I could. I'd write a book and be a millionaire. I'd get my air conditioner fixed. I'd have the water turned back on. But I needed to be with you today because you're my family. And I did read this book, and it's called I Stand at the Door. It's AA approved, and it's called An Apologia for My Life by Sam Shoemaker. And it's beautiful. And it talks about service and why he stands by the door to help other people, because I can't make anyone recover. Only you can do it. So for me, it's my three A's: awareness, acceptance, and action. And love. I love you all. You know I do. So now I've passed my time. I'm dead in the water. I'm meat. Mwah. And I love you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I would love to hear you share your wisdom and work, humility and love with me.